Good morning. This is Global Time with Christ Jesus on Thursday morning, May the 22nd, 2014. What a wonderful opportunity and act of grace and mercy that we are able to get up. Yes, the birds are up and they're singing. They're in full force. I can hear their choir out there spilling forth the songs of praise. And we're up to worship God all day long and praise Him in our being. Thank you for joining us, and of course, we welcome you. I trust that you're feeling well. I know I am. I thank God for that. You know, it's not something that I take lightly or for granted. It is good to be up, feeling well, ready to face the day with all of its blessings, all of its challenges, and certainly we thank God for one more opportunity to be in the land of the living, living for Him. Well, once again, welcome to you, and this is Thursday, May the 22nd, and we are on with Global Time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I trust that you may have a prayer request or a praise report on this wonderful day that God has given us. Our thought today is, no prayers, no harvest. Well, you want to know what that's about? Well, let's take a look at the scripture and see what the Lord Himself said. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and verse 38, and I'll be quoting from the Amplified Version. And it says in verse 36, when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered, harassed, and distressed, and dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest. So Jesus was having a moment of teaching and ministering to the people, and it says that he saw the throngs, he saw the crowds, and when it speaks of Jesus looking at someone or looking at the crowds, he's not casually just looking. He is in deep thought. He is locked in, and he is thinking about what is before his eyes in a very deep way. It says he was moved with pity and sympathy for them, because they were bewildered, harassed and distressed, and dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's descriptive of God's heart towards those that are lost, knowing that they are helpless, they're without a shepherd. My goodness, what compassion, what love, what mercy. And God wants you and I to feel and to get that. That's his heart towards the lost. And so Jesus says to his disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest. Who's the Lord of the harvest? Our Father in heaven. Pray the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest. Yes, the harvest is ripe. And I think of this time of the year here in our region, it's springtime. And looking at all of the possibilities, the trees are renewed with new vigor and clothing. They're all clothed in their leaves in a very spectacular fashion. And if you're planting or you have a garden at your home, or you have plants indoor or outdoor, they're at their best at this point in time. because of the season, and the season is for laborers to go into the harvest, because the harvest is ripe. It's ready, ready to be taken in. That was the purpose of the plantings. So the harvest is ripe. Now the church is urged to pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest of the Lord. The scarcity of laborers in the harvest field is due to the fact that the church fails to pray for laborers as Jesus commanded. We want to do that today. God's chosen laborers are the only ones who will truly go, filled with the Christ-like spirit of compassion and Christ-like power. So the people of God, on their knees, with Christ's compassion in, I would say, our hearts for dying people and for needy souls, is the pledge of laborers in numbers and character to meet the needs of earth and the purpose of heaven, and I would say the purposes of heaven. Well, we want to pray that today. We want to take that on. That's God's heart. And I trust that you are ready to align your heart with his heart. It's a dance. If you've ever danced, you don't want to be stepping on the toes of the person with whom you're dancing. Well, we don't want to step on his toes. We want to be in sync, in perfect step with him. So let us place ourselves under his command anew and afresh today, because as we pray for laborers to be forced out, that's what the word is saying, and thrusted into the harvest, meaning God's harvest. Well, we are those. We're usually looking at someone else, but it's us. God wants us to move into the harvest. And you don't have to be specially called. If you're called into his kingdom, to you have been given the ministry of reconciliation, you have a part to play. And so we want to be obedient, number one, by praying the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust out laborers into the vineyard, into the harvest. See, if the harvest doesn't come in within a certain time, it perishes. So the harvest has to be taken when it's ready. So it's not anytime, anyhow, anywhere. It's season. And the season is harvest. For the harvest to be, it needs laborers. The laborers are we, not them. It's we. And we want to open up our hearts as we pray for laborers to be thrust into the harvest. Expect God to speak to your heart. And we want to take a moment today to listen to him. But let us open in prayer and believe him, because prayer honors God as sovereign and moves him to his wise and holy selection. It gets God to send forth the best candidates and the most fit people and the people best qualified to work in the harvest. And the qualification starts with compassion for the world of sinners, that they would be redeemed by Christ. Father, we come to you today and we come with praise. We thank you for this day. This day has never been in all the earth or in all of your creation. It's the first of the rest of them. And we thank you for it, that we are in it. You've given it to us freely as a gift. We have this day. We can't count on tomorrow, but we have this moment and this day. in which to praise, to honor, and to glorify you. Help us, even as we attempt to do that, strengthen us, open our eyes, quicken us, so that we can see and see through in ways that we had never done before. We come away with understanding your heart, feeling the pulse of your own heart, and that our hearts become sympathetic and empathetic in sync with your own heart. Help us today. Do something special on this day, because this day you made for that. So we're rejoicing in this day. We thank you. We do not deserve it. Nothing we could have done that would earn us this day, except that you have compassion upon us, just like you did, Lord, as you saw the crowds. It says that you were moved with pity and sympathy for them, because they were bewildered, harassed, and distressed, and dejected and helpless. Father, we are helpless without your help. We're like sheep that are without a shepherd. We need you as our shepherd, and we thank you for providing your Son, Jesus Christ, to shepherd us, to lead and to guide us. So we thank you for this day and the opportunity that you've given to us. This is out of your loving and kind hands. We thank you for your compassion, and we thank you that your throne is above all the earth. You're the sovereign ruler of heaven and of the earth, and you make decisions and choices. And we want to agree with you today, and do agree with you, that you would send laborers into the harvest. And Father, we pray that we are seen from your perspective as fit to be sent into the harvest. Help us today to see and find ways in which we can connect with those that are lost. We can connect in a way based on the opportunities that the doors that you open for us to move into and share with someone of your goodness and your mercy. Not keeping it to ourselves, but giving it away so that someone else can partake and taste and see that the Lord is good. Today, Father, help us. And if there be any sin in our lives, we confess our failure, we confess our weaknesses, and we ask that you would forgive us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we go forth today with boldness, asking for your heart of compassion for the world of sinners. Cause us as the people of God, stir us to pray to the Lord of the harvest and send forth, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field on this day. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us ordinary people, and equipping us to do the work of the harvest. So we thank you on this day. Show us your heart. Give us your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, today we want to be careful to hear God's voice concerning our role and our part in the harvest. We are the laborers. The church today is like a barn on the harvest field, on the field or near the field of harvest. The church is in the barn. And God is saying, let us come out. Let us come out and get out into the field, into the harvest. And those of you who are familiar with agricultural procedures, you would know that what I'm saying is accurate, that there's usually a barn, a storehouse of some sorts, where the equipment is, where the supplies are, and to which the harvest is taken normally in order to bring it to wherever its destination is. But what can develop is where the laborers are hanging out in the barn, and God wants us out into the field. And sometimes we wait for qualification, and that's normally an escape route. Rather, we're all qualified once called. You can tell your story of God's goodness to you, of your encounter with God. It's that simple. And if you want to really be expert at it, then God will help you, but you must ask. That's how it works. All right, your lines are open, and if you have a prayer request or a praise report, we're open to entertaining that. But we're really focused today on praying for the harvest and being part of the harvest. I know in our ministry we have a number of events that will occur over the next couple of months that puts us out into the community. And you may want to think and about participation. Well, one that comes to mind that's really an excellent event, it's National Night Out, and that's August 8th. That's National Night Out. But more immediate, June 8th, which is next month, not many days from now, at 4:30 p.m., we will be in Branch Brook Park along with other people of God, many of them, and we will be out there as an outreach and celebration of Pentecost. That's on June 8th, which is Pentecost Sunday. And if we're filled with the Spirit, then we will then be wanting to be part of that. If we remember in the book of Acts and we see what happened on the day of Pentecost, many, many, many came to know Jesus Christ. And so we want to be out there to represent his business and his interests. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I would like to do something that I think it's appropriate to do. I find that when we prepare ourselves for these prayer casts before actually getting on them, our spirits and minds and hearts are most fruitful as it relates to what happens when we enter God's presence, when we enter his courtroom. We are more fit and ready to interact with him because we have prepared. We have been receptive. And what I would like to do in this moment is take a few moments. All of us take a few moments to listen. To listen to him. Listen to his voice. By the Holy Spirit, he speaks to your heart. The real work of prayer is to become silent and listen to the voice that speaks to us, and it's his voice, where we're able to gently push aside and silence the many other voices that we're hearing in our hearts. There's so many voices, And so God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. And so it becomes powerful to know that individually we are in the presence of God, as well as corporately we are in the presence of God. God is able to pay attention to us individually as well as collectively. And so if we take just a few moments, just a few seconds, to just be silent before the Lord and listening, see yourself before His throne right now. He is ready to speak and directly address you, directly address us. This is the way we get His heart. Prayer is a two-way communication effort. We speak to Him and He speaks with us. So let us take a few moments now. This very wonderful music plays in the background. We allow that to aid us in hearing His voice. Let us begin. Well, we thank God for that listening moment. What is God saying to your heart? You may want to share that with us. Unless it's personal, of a personal nature. You know, there's some things you want to keep between you and the Lord. But has He spoken anything to you that relates to what we're doing today? And is giving us a direction. as he put in your heart a prayer request, something to which you or we should pray about and pray for. He loves when we ask.
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
I have some male friends. One of them's name is Charles, the other Brent, and the other Richard. And they all seem, all three seem to have the same problems. They have, spiritual issues and emotional, really emotionally broken and mental stuff going on. So to pray for their spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, they have like physical ailments, and financial blessings.
Okay, are these persons in the Lord?
Richard, he believes in Jesus, but Charles and Brent, Charles, he's up and down about going into service, going to church. Brent, he used to go, and he got hurt in church, and now he doesn't want to go anymore at all.
Okay. Okay. Usually I say to people when they take a position such as that, I usually ask them if they have any plans to leave the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because on this planet, you're going to run into pain.
Mm-hmm.
In the church, that's not an exclusive place for pain. I mean, you can have pain there. But, I mean, you will run into it wherever you go. And so the only escape that I think from pain ultimately is to leave the planet. Okay, if that's not a workable idea, well, then one has to come up with a different solution.
Mm-hmm.
And the different solution is our response to pain. So I don't coddle people that are declaring pain from a particular situation, whether it be the church or else. You know?
Mm-hmm.
How old did you have to get to find out that the earth has pain in it? Soon as you were born, shortly thereafter, found that out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have recourse, we do. So what I would ask that what I would advise, if I'm allowed, when you have interaction with anyone that is complaining of pain, being hurt in some kind of relationship, again, whether it be the church, you know, the scripture says iron sharpens iron. That's
mm-hmm.
what happens in churches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People enter churches thinking they're going to now be associating with perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
That's like going to the hospital, the emergency room, and looking to find people all fit and well in there. No, that's a place where people go when they're sick.
That's right.
You know, so it's a place where people are at all levels. You have people that are in the emergency room, people that are being worked on, people are in the ICU, people in the ICCU, people are on the wards, laying up in their beds, people sitting on the edge of their beds with their bags packed, waiting to go home because they're much welled and more welled than when they first came in. I mean, you have people at different levels. And so...
Mm-hmm.
The excuse, if you will, and it's nothing more than an excuse about not being in the right relationship with the Lord because of people in a church, is not a whole excuse. It means that person still has a lot of growing to do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So God doesn't hurt anyone. Yeah, so our excuses are just that, excuses. So the next time you have a conversation with these individuals, please explain to them the realities of their situation. Okay? Mm-hmm. I've experienced people getting hurt before they even joined our church, but they're already hurt. No, because they're operating in a spirit of injury and hurt. Mm. 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 Think about mm-hmm. that. We're going to ask you to lead us in prayer for those brothers, okay, that they all would be delivered, made whole. They would all come to the light because that is the primary need. That is the root problem. They must come to the light. They must come to Christ. When you come to Christ, a lot of things are made straight. A lot of crooked paths are made straight. So would you lead us, please, in praying for these men? And we need to pray for men. Amen?
Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God Almighty, mighty and strong, powerful. Lord God, we give you the praise, all the honor, all the glory, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for men. We thank you, Lord God, that you designed men to be leaders, oh Lord God. Lord God, and oh Father God, it's your heart's desire that men would stand. Men, oh Lord God, would come to you, Lord God, and love you and serve you and love others and serve others, Lord God. And Lord God, you have equipped us, oh Lord God, with your word. You have equipped us, oh Lord God, with fellowship. Oh, Lord God, with a means to fast and to pray, oh, Lord God, and cause these men to have the desire, the heart to pray, Lord God, to not complain, but to pray, Lord God, to seek your face early, Lord God. And, Father God, we give you the praise right now for it, Father. We know, oh, Lord God, you're more than able to reach Charles. You're more than able to reach Brent. You're more than able to reach Richard, Lord God, and many other men, oh, Lord God, who are hurting and searching and looking for answers, oh, Lord God. You are the answer, oh, Lord God. You are the door, oh, Father God. And let them, oh, Lord God, have relationship with you that's pleasing, oh, Father God, and that they really, Lord God, hunger and thirst at the holiness, at the righteousness, at the real love, oh, Lord God. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, if they've sinned, oh, Father God, that you forgive, oh, Lord God, and that you wash, that you purge, that you cover with your blood, oh, Father God. And, Lord God, that they seek you like never before, Lord God. That Richard, oh, Lord God, that he, oh, Lord God, would understand your word and Lord God, would be baptized in your spirit, oh, Father God, and continue to grow, oh, Lord God, and that you help Brent understand, Lord God, that there's human beings, Lord God, of every age in the church, oh, Father God, and that, oh, Lord God, we all need to grow, and we all need to mature, and we all need to come to you, oh, Father God, and we need to, oh, Lord God, focus on loving you and focus on loving other people, Father God, and, Lord God, that Charles will be determined, oh, Father God, to find a church home, oh, Father God, that he would seek you, oh, Father God, for where you have planted him, where you desire for him to grow, where you desire for him to learn, where you desire for him to work, oh, Father God, in the ministry. And we give you the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We call it done, oh, Father God, because we know, oh, Father God, when we pray, believing, oh, Lord God, what we have asked for, oh, Father God, we have it. And we thank you. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' holy, matchless name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for leading us. And I would encourage you to invite him. Invite him to come to our ministry, our church. Tell him that we would welcome him and love to have him there, and we cannot guarantee what will happen with his feelings. he has unique control over that. But we love the Lord there, and the presence of the Lord is with us in our ministry.
Yes.
Invite him to come and to give the Lord another chance to work on him. But if he's ever going to have a meaningful relationship with the church, I mean with God, he's going to need to be in relationship with the people of God wherever he goes, whatever he calls it, whatever he sees it as. It's going to have to be a church family, a group of individuals that are part of the universal church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a building, whether it's a tree house, it doesn't matter. If he's going to be in relationship with God, he has to be in relationship with the people of God.
Amen.
That is biblical. Jesus Christ, or Paul rather, encountered Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And guess what? He lost his sight. And God didn't have Paul go in under a tree and pray and then get his sight back. God sent Paul to the church. That's how important the church is to the Lord. And a lot of times we, in our pride and our arrogance, I'm talking about people in general, we make assumptions about the church without realizing that the church is the apple of God's eyes. The apple of God's eyes. He created the family first, then the second thing is the church. So we can dismiss the church for whatever reason we arrogantly think we can, but the church is not dismissed. We are. And so we have to be very careful. And we come into the church and we come in broken.
Mm.
We come in broken. We don't come in whole. Even as we pass the altar, we come in broken, because the oil is being poured in, and that's a process. Our healing is a process. Our getting well is a process. And we come in with serious ailments. Ailments like we can't get along with people, we don't know how to love or to receive love, all kinds of ailments. But we, even the fact that we would project our illness onto the church is an illness. You see, so I used to, you know, kind of listen to people and coddle them in the past. I don't do that anymore. I've learned I've learned some things. You know, you have to be straight up with them, and you have to let them know that the church has its issues. The church is being made into a bride without spot or wrinkle. She ain't there yet, and neither is he. So, you know, I mean, it's tight, but it's right. Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, once again, welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining Global Time with Jesus Christ on this Thursday morning, May 22nd. And what else is God saying to us today? Hallelujah. I sense his presence. He's speaking to us. Does anyone have a praise report or a prayer request? Let's get what God has for us while he's giving it to us. Hallelujah. Okay. While you're contemplating.
Good morning.
What it is. Good morning. Good morning.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. God bless.
Yes.
I have a prayer request. my daughter Kellyanne is going for dental surgery, some intense dental surgery to remove her wisdom teeth this morning. I would just like to lift her up in prayer so that the surgery would be successful and there would be no complications.
Okay, a serious complication would be the removal of the teeth, the wisdom tooth, and the wisdom goes with it. So we pray that the wisdom remains. Praise God. Yeah, she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the hand of healing that you extended through others to us in various procedures for our health and our well-being. And we pray today, Lord, that as Shelly Ann goes for this dental procedure, that everything will go fine and according to health and well-being. We thank you for rapid healing and recovery from the procedure. Bless the dental specialists and all of the assistants, Lord. May they be on their most excellent form today, even as they stretch forth your hand to lay it upon someone who is under your covering. We thank you and we bless your name, and we expect, Lord, that there will be a great outcome, the outcome that higher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Well,
it
is done. She is fine. She is fine. We want to do what the scripture says today. We want to consciously do some binding and loosing on this day. You know, it Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. We're just running just a minute or so over time, so if you hear the music burst in, it'll quickly be silenced. But we want to do Matthew 16 and 19, and it talks about binding and loosing, and the fact that we have the keys to the kingdom, and whatever we bind in the earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose in the earth is loose in heaven. Father, we have the keys. In fact, why don't we make this first person singular? Put yourself, put the I, and this is one of those occasions where it's appropriate. And because we have the authority based on his word to bind and to loose. So let us enter into that. I have the key, bind. I have the keys to the kingdom, and whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I bind the kings in chains and the nobles with fetters of iron, according to Psalm 149 and verse 8. According to Matthew 12:29, I bind the strong man and spoil his goods. I bind Leviathan and all proud spirits arrayed against my life. Job chapter 41, verse 5. I bind the principalities, the powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. I bind all sickness and disease released against my mind or body. Let the exiles be loosed. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 14. Let the prisoners be loosed. Psalm 146 and verse 7. Loose those that are appointed to death. Psalm 102 and verse 20. I loose my neck from all bands in the name of Jesus, according to Isaiah chapter 52 and verses 2. I also loose myself from the bands of wickedness, Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6, and according to Job chapter 38 and verse 31, I loose myself from the bands of Orion. I loose myself from all bounds, Psalm 116 and 16. I loose my mind, my will, and emotions from every assignment and spirit of darkness in the name of Jesus. I loose my city and region from every assignment of hell. I loose my finances from every spirit of poverty, debt, and lack. I loose myself from all generational curses and hereditary spirits, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 13. I loose myself from every assignment of witchcraft, sorcery, and divination. I loose myself from every spoken curse and negative word spoken against my life. All these are loosed in earth and loosed in heaven.
Yes.
By and through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well,
hallelujah.
We're loosed. Let's walk in freedom and the power that He has given us on this unique day. It's Thursday, the 22nd of May. Well, Philippians 4 and 23 is our leaving word today, our benedictions, very short. And I trust that we can walk in it. Here's what it says, Philippians 4, 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I trust that you could say amen to that.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, it's with you.
Hallelujah.
Even as the enemy try to come at you, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining
us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Shalom, everyone.
Peace.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Have a blessed and victorious day, everyone.
Thank you.
God bless everyone.
Thank you.
God bless you for that.
God bless you. Thank you.